All right. Good evening, everyone. Let's begin. First of all, welcome back. I hope that everybody had a wonderful and beautiful, restful, rejuvenating summer. It's pretty overwhelming to think that here we stand just a few days before Rosh Hashanah, and I'm happy to see that everyone has all of their Yom Tov preparations done, and you have time to come out to a shir. It's incredible. Baruch Hashem. No, but all the more so, it speaks to the fact that we feel such a sense of urgency and such a need to prepare for this day. And what I'd like to be able, I'm going to start with a confession. This is the season for a confession. So, you know, Rosh Hashanah has always been a Yom Tov that has somehow, I always grapple with. Obviously, we all grapple with Rosh Hashanah because there's a lot that's being decided. There's a lot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is sitting in judgment of. It's not just our future, but it's universal future. It's mankind's future that is being decided on this day. But what's always bothered me about Rosh Hashanah is that, you know, whenever the Jew has a question, so where do you look? It's not a trick question, right? The Torah. Right? So you open up the Torah, you open up your Chumash first, and your Torah usually gives you a pretty good blueprint as to what it is that you're supposed to expect from a particular Yom Tov. So we want to know what Pesach is about, no problem. Open up the Torah, and in three different places, the Torah is going to tell you quite explicitly what the essence of the Yom Tov of Pesach is. Same thing for Sukkot, Shavuos a little bit less. But if there's one day that the Torah is so ambiguous about, if there's one day that the Torah is so nondescript about, it's the Yom Tov of Rosh Hashanah. In fact, if you open up your Chumash, again, you'll see on Mirtz Hashem B'Shah Tov Matzlachas on Monday morning, when we read the Maftir, which is the section that discusses about Rosh Hashanah, all the Torah tells you what Rosh Hashanah is, that it's a Yom Teruah. Okay? It's the day that we should blow the shofar, and after the Torah calls it a Yom Teruah, the Torah goes on to tell me all of the different sacrifices that are brought on this day, but absolutely no discussion about the idea that it is a day of judgment. Now, why the Torah is so ambiguous? You'll have to come back here first day Rosh Hashanah, and Mirat Hashem, I'll talk about that during the drasha. So what I want to draw your attention to is perhaps one of the most important gemaras that discuss the dynamic of Rosh Hashanah and give us a little bit of an insight as to the profundity of this day. Let's begin with number one. So the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah writes the following. B'Rosh Hashanah, kol ba'ei olam ovrim lefanav kibnei mara. On Rosh Hashanah, kol ba'ei olam. Kol ba'ei olam means all of the inhabitants of the world. Very important idea. Rosh Hashanah is not simply a day of judgment for the Jewish people. It's not a Jewish holiday. Perhaps Jews have an acute sensitivity as to recognizing how to observe it. But Rosh Hashanah is a universal day of judgment. So literally the Gemara says, Kol bo'ei olam, all the inhabitants of the world, Ovrim lefanav kibnei maro, come before God like bnei maro. What's the problem, says the Gemara? My kibnei maro. What does that word, what does that phrase mean, kibnei maro? So the Gemara gives three different interpretations. Hacha targimo kibnei amarno. Here, in Babel, in Babylonia, they translated kibnei maro like kibnei amarno. Very helpful for us. What does kibnei amarno mean? If you just keep your finger on place of number one, but just skip down to number two to Rashi for just a moment. B'Rosh Hashanah kol bo'ei olam, first line in Rashi, kibnei amarno. Kikivasim shemonin osal la'asran. So Rashi paints the following image. Kibnei amarno means sheep, but not just any sheep. You know, Mirat Hashem will have a base, HaMikdash Hei Rabbi Amenu, and we have to, one of the tithes that we have to give is Meiser Behemo. You have to tithe your animals. So how do you tithe your animals? You have a corral filled with sheep, and you have to give every 10th sheep to the Kohen. It becomes the Kohenic property. So what would they do? So they would have a small opening at the entranceway or exit of the pen. The sheep would run through it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The owner would stand there right by the entranceway of the pen with a little red paintbrush. And when the 10th sheep would run by, the owner would take a little paintbrush, smear a little bit of paint on the sheep, and that's your Meiser Behema. Therefore, says Rashi, that's Kibnei Amarno, like sheep who come out of the pen one by one. And Rashi says, V'yotzin za'achar zeh b'pesach katan, she'ein yecholin latzeis ke'echad. And the idea, the image the Gemara is trying to make is that those sheep might want to run out altogether. Now, if you're one of those sheep, why do you want to run out altogether?
because you don't want to be the one that gets painted, right? Because remember, the one that gets painted ultimately is going to become the property of the Kohen, which means most probably Kohen's not going to keep it as a pet. The Kohen's going to shecht it. He's going to eat it. So again, as much as it's nice for us, such a lofty and high level of accomplishment, for the little sheep, he'd rather just run out with the whole crew, with the whole group, that gives him a greater statistical probability of not being chosen. Therefore, the Gemara says, what does it mean that we go before our Kadosh Baruch Hu, kibnei maron? First opinion, kibnei amarno. Like the sheep coming out of the pen, one by one. Back up top to number one. That's the first opinion. Reish Lakish, Sham Reish Lakish says, kima'alos beis maron. Like the steps of beis maron. What does that mean? Go back down to number two for just a moment, third line. Kima'alos beis maron, haderech katzar. So beis maron was a hilltop city. To get to this hilltop city, you had to scale, not a hill, it's really a mountaintop city. You had to essentially walk to the top of the mountain. So what they did is they chiseled out a very narrow stairway on the side of the mountain. So kimalos beis maron, so what's the nature of the stairway? Haderech katzar. It's a very narrow passageway. Ve'ein shnayim yicholen leilech zeh betzad zeh. Two people can't walk side by side. Sha'emek amuk mishnei tzidei haderech. Now the image that Rashi paints is in fact that the stairway on both sides was an incredible drop. So the stairway itself was only narrow enough for one person to walk at a time, and no guardrail, and therefore you have to be exceptionally careful when walking up. Okay, let's look at the third opinion. Back up to number one. Amar Avigdor Amar Shmuel, kechayolos beis David. What's kibnei maron? Like the soldiers of David HaMelech's army. What's unique about the soldiers of David HaMelech's army? Take a look at number two again. Last two lines. Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel Kechayolos Beis David Kibnei Chayolos Shamelech. Like the king's soldiers. Moro Lashon Mars VaAdnus VeKachayu Monin Osam Yotzim Zeachar Zeh B'tzis Mechama. David HaMelech had such strong soldiers that when they would go out to war, they'd go out one by one. So according to Rashi, we have now. So remember, here's what we have. The Gemara tells us, what is the Rosh Hashanah experience? The Rosh Hashanah experience can be summarized in one phrase. Kol ba'ei olam ovrin lefanav kibnei maron. All of the inhabitants of the world come before God like bnei maron. What's bnei maron? Three interpretations. Like sheep coming out of the pen one by one from Eiser Behema. Like people walking up ma'alos beis maron. The narrow stairway that only has room for one at a time. Or chayolos beis maron. The soldiers go out one by one. What's the common denominator among all three of these answers? Individual, one at a time. So according to Rashi, what the Gemara is trying to teach us is the idea that, you know what the dynamic of Rosh Hashanah is? It's an amazing thing. If there's one thing about our people, what we place incredible emphasis on is collective dynamic activity. We are a people of the klal. We do not live for ourselves. We do not live as individuals. We live as part of the collective. And in fact, everything we do that's meaningful, interestingly enough, has to take part as part of the collective. A person loses a relative, a parent, and they want to say Kaddish. That Kaddish can only take place how? With the minyan. And the truth is, you go through most of our major mitzvahs, any Dover Shevek Dusha, anytime we want to really recite intense praise of God, now it's the season of Slichos. If you want to recite Hashem, Hashem, Keorach Mechanun, the 13 attributes of God, perhaps the most powerful prayer in our entire religion. The Gemara says, if you say the 13 attributes with Kavanah, with intention, the Gemara says, such a prayer like that is never unanswered. You could only say 13 attributes when? Presence of a minion. If you're davening by yourself, you can say all the rest of slichos, but you can't say Hashem, Hashem, Keorachum Mechanun. That can only be recited with a minion. There is power in the collective. What the Gemara is teaching us is, and by the way, not only is there power in the collective, but there's comfort in the collective. What's the comfort in the collective? You know, the great part about being part of a nation is, I might say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, God, I'm asking you for request A, whatever that might be. I may not have the requisite merits for God to grant me that request. But the amazing part is that when you're part of a collective, we have the ability to tap into each other's merits. We have the ability to, so to speak, borrow each other's spiritual ATM card. And if I'm running a little bit in the red, I could borrow a little bit from you, and you're more than happy to do that. Because you know what the amazing part is? Me borrowing from you doesn't make you any less deficient. And if for some reason, even collectively, we don't have enough, it's okay. Because there's always Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. There's always Sar, Rivka, there's always someone to borrow from. So the truth is, a lot of us live in spiritual overdraft. And Baruch Hashem, the truth is, thank God we have a safety net for that. What the Gemara is describing is that there's one day of the year where you have to go at it all alone. There's one day of the year where you don't have the power or the comfort of the collective. There's one day a year where it's not me and my kehila, it's not me and my people, it's not me and my community, it's me and the Ribono Shel Olam. That's what Rosh Hashanah is, says the Gemara. It's a one-on-one rendezvous with the Almighty. A one-on-one opportunity where the Ribono Shel Olam invites me in, pulls up a chair and says, let's talk about last year. Let's talk about it. And let's begin to plan together, Meretz Hashem, for next year. Where did you succeed? Where did you fail? How are you going to build on your successes? How are you going to rectify your failures? Unless you think that this takes place in the comfort of a collective group, No, says the Gemara. But Rosh Hashanah, kol ba'ei olam ovrin lefanav kibnei maron. We all come before the Ribono Shel Olam simply as individuals. In fact, you know, there's an amazing Arizal, which we'll get into later. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to take this Gemara. So I've given you Rashi now. And this is the simple pshat, the simple understanding that what the Gemara is trying to say is the essence of the Rosh Hashanah experience is that it's a beautiful opportunity for a rendezvous with God. Meaning, even if we were to stop this shir right now, which I'm not going to do, right? But if we were to stop this shir right now, it was worth it to come just for that. Why? Because sometimes I've heard, it doesn't happen here, Baruch Hashem, but sometimes people look at their watch over the course of Rosh Hashanah davening. Right? Ah, it's 1 o'clock, it's 2 o'clock, it's 4 o'clock, whatever, don't worry, not 4 o'clock, right? So, you know, you have to understand something. So imagine for a moment, you know, a person lost a parent. So imagine for a moment someone gave you an opportunity to spend a couple of hours with your parent. Kadosh Baruch Hu was going to do Tchias HaMeisim, bring back your parent. Nobody would look at their watch. You would soak up every single... So imagine that we are given the privilege that for one day, for us it's 2 days, that we get to sit with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That literally, I'm not davening as a collective. Yes, we start tefillos together. But the dynamic is me conversing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Rosh Hashanah. It's an experience that we never have again. It's true, we always speak to God. I always have a dialogue with God every single Shemona Esrei. But that dialogical connection is part of a collective experience. Here, Rosh Hashanah, it's just me and the Ribono Shel Olam. But let's try to dig a little bit deeper and to see what else Chazal are trying to teach us through this Gemara. So I want to share with you, time permitting, 4 different approaches. The first is the approach of the Marashah. So the Marashah writes, he says very beautifully, he says the 3 different opinions, see remember, according to Rashi, what's interesting is, are the 3 opinions of the Gemara disagreeing with each other? No. They're all saying the same exact thing. So just what are they doing? They're painting different images. You know, the best way to get a point across to someone is either with a story, with a maisa, or with an image. So they're just painting images that people could relate to. Sheep going out one by one, people climbing a narrow staircase one by one, or the soldiers of David HaMelech going out one by one. So according to Rashi, the 3 different opinions quoted in the Gemara are not disagreeing at all. They're just trying to each paint their own individual mental image. According to the Marashah, he disagrees. And the Marashah says, skip down to the following. Skip down to the last Aleph. Excuse me, to the last line of 3 Aleph. He says, D'chol hanach perushi dibnei maron kulon isnu be, v'kivnu bazeh al gimel kitos bnei adam. So says the Marashah so beautifully, these 3 different descriptions are supposed to represent the 3 different categories of people. How so? Take a look at base. Man demefarish kibnei amarna, niskaven al kat harishoim, the category, the sheep, those refer to the wicked. Because the same way that the sheep are going to be slaughtered, so too the wicked are going to be slaughtered. Okay? Paragraph Gimel. What about the image of those about walking up the narrow staircase? That refers to who? What are Beinonim? Middle of the roaders. So, right, why is that image? Because remember how Rashi described that staircase? See, normally when you think about a staircase, I told you like on a mountaintop, which seems like one side is at least against the mountain. So if you hug the mountain, you're going to be okay. Rashi said, no, Malos Beischaron, however the staircase was structured, is that there was like a drop on both sides. So if you go a little bit too much to the left, a little bit too much to the right, you're going to fall off the staircase and be lost forever. That refers, says the Marsha, to the Beinonim, to the middle of the rotors, people again who are straddling that very narrow middle path, and again, have to be careful which way they veer. And Gimel, Mandi Mefarish Kimalas Beischaron, Niskavin Akat HaBeinonim. I'm sorry, Dalit. Umandi Mefarish Le Kechayolosh HaBeis David, Shem Nimnim Betseisel Nemelchama, Niskavin Letzadikim. And who do the soldiers refer to? The soldiers refer ultimately again to the valiant righteous. So according to the Marsha, what the Gemara is trying to impress upon us is, Berosh Hashanah, Kol ba'ei olam over in the fun of kibnei maron. What does that mean? That every single person comes before God. Whether you're righteous, whether you're wicked, or whether you're middle of the road, everyone has to come for their appointed time with the Ribono shel olam. There is no one who is exempt from this. There is no one ultimately, again, who doesn't have to report. There is no one who is not subject to this process of meeting with, of this rendezvous with the divine. Okay, beautiful idea. Take a look at number four. The Ben Yoyada. The Ben Yoyada was the chief rabbi of Baghdad in the 1800s. And he says something quite beautiful over here. He says the following. He says, look by the letter Aleph. Skip down to the third line. Mahatzon afilu mechablim ha'ilanos, ein ba'aleha ma'alin aleha. Kach Yisrael, afa pi shechot, na kodesh baruch hu nohi iman kitzon. I'm just going to read one more line. Perish ma'atas kunazal, ein ba'aleha ma'alin, perish ein mechashvin hanezek aleihem, ki yodim pisoim hein bazeh, v'chein kan dan osam ki pisoim, lachshov hamazidin kishgagos. Listen to how beautiful this is. Says the Ben Yehuda, what does it mean? Everyone comes before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the first step, and say, Kibnei Amarna, like sheep. So what happens when you're a shepherd? So what do the sheep end up doing? So imagine this scene. I'm a shepherd, and I also have an orchard. So what's going to inevitably happen? We all know this from our vast shepherding experience. So what happens, right? The sheep break away from the herd, and what are they going to do? They're going to wander into the orchard. They're going to eat some apples. They're going to eat some oranges. They're going to eat some of the grapes from the vineyard. So what's the owner's reaction to that? What's the shepherd's reaction to that? What's his reaction? Does he get angry at them? No, he doesn't get angry at them. Why? Because they're simple animals. It's not done maliciously. It's not done intentionally. They're hungry. So they're going to look for something to eat, but the owner doesn't get upset, even though the sheep have objectively committed a damaging act. But because the owner knows that the intentions of the sheep are not to harm, are not to do damage, but simply, that's kind of what sheep do. So the owner doesn't get upset. So too says the Ben Yehoyada. That's how the Ribono Shel Olam looks at us. Kol ba'ei olam ovrim lefanav kibnei maron kibnei amarna. The Ribono Shel Olam says the Ben Yehoyada looks at us like sheep. What does that mean? That when I show up for my appointment with the Kodesh Baruch Hu, what's going to happen? He's going to have a file. And the file is pretty thick, because there are a lot of things I did wrong over the past year. So you know, we often have, I don't remember too much from my high school experience. Don't tell that to my parents. They paid a lot of money in tuition. But interestingly enough, for some reason, there's certain things that stick with you. The one thing I remember is that English literature class, and we had to go ahead and read an essay by Henry Giles, who was an English preacher. And the essay was Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And you could pretty much, the title says it all, right? What it is it's a sermon that this preacher gave to his congregation on Sunday morning. And the truth is, pretty much the message of the sermon was, to quote him, you're going to hell. Right? That's pretty much how it's going to work, right? You're going to burn. You've done terrible stuff. There is no salvation. You might as well accept it. You might as well embrace it. The beautiful part about Judaism is we don't have an angry God. We have a loving God. We have a loving God that sometimes gets upset. We have a loving God that sometimes has enough. We have a loving God that sometimes has to punish. But just like when a parent punishes, you know, there are two ways to punish. There's the right way and there's the wrong way. You never discipline your child out of anger. Because if you do that, it's not parenting. It's not parenting that's talking. It's anger that's talking. It's probably one of the hardest nisyonos in parenting. Because in those moments of intense parental anger, you have to take a deep breath and don't let your anger drive your parenting. Because again, your children will see it and the message won't get through. The only thing that gets through with anger is anger. Not much else. The Ribono Shel Olam is a loving God. He loves us more than we love ourselves. No matter how much you think you love your children, the Ribono Shel Olam loves us 10 times more than that. So says the Ben Yehoyada, when Rosh Hashanah comes, and Kol Ba'ei Olam over in Lefanav, we're all coming before God one by one. So the Ben Yehoyada says, you ever wonder, how does God look at us? I know what I did. God knows what I did. I don't feel so great about myself because things that I did. How does the Ribono Shel Olam look at me? So the first opinion says, you know how God looks at us? Kibne Amarna. Like docile sheep. He knows deep down, we didn't mean it. He knows deep down, it was never our intention to rebel against him. He knows deep down, we weren't really trying to transgress. Just what happened? I got a little hungry. I got a little distracted. I wandered into the orchard, I wandered into the vineyard, I took stuff, or I used stuff, or I enjoyed stuff that I wasn't supposed to. But it wasn't because I don't love you. It wasn't because I don't respect you. It wasn't because I don't care. It's just sometimes I'm just a little bit of a careless sheep. And says the first opinion in the Gemara, when we come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you want to know how he looks at us? Kibnei Amarna. Now again, I want to be clear. It doesn't mean there aren't repercussions. And it doesn't mean there aren't ramifications. And it doesn't mean that there aren't sometimes punishments for the things that we do. But you know, sometimes we wonder, what does the Ribono Shel Olam think about me? How does he view me? Because sometimes we do things and we don't view ourselves in a positive light. How does the Ribono Shel Olam feel about me? And says the first opinion, he loves us. And he recognizes that even when we do things wrong, we're like the simple sheep who don't do things in a malicious fashion, but sometimes do things simply because we're not attentive, simply because we make mistakes, or because we just fall asleep at the wheel of life. That's the first opinion. Skip down a little bit. He says, actually turn the page. Paragraph Beis. Skip to the second line in paragraph Beis. So what about the second opinion that says that we come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kibnei Amarna means like those going up the steep steps of Beis Charon. Hainu, Shisham Hamakom Tsar. Beis Maron is a very narrow stairway. And what happens? Vema Adam Yipol Sham Hamakom Garim Lahanafila. You know, if somebody goes ahead and Chas V'Shalom falls off the steps going up to Beis Maron, so whose fault is it? Whose fault is it? Okay, maybe you could tell it's my fault, but it's also the stairs' fault. I mean, there's certain circumstantial fault as well. It's a steep staircase. People must have fallen off all of the time. It's a steep staircase. It's not even if I'm careful. Sometimes you can be careful in life, but there are just circumstances that just cause you to fall. V'chein Eitzel Yisrael Yilamid Zichus Aleim Lomar Shamakum Shu Chomer Achur Garam Lahem Limashich Achar Taivara. Listen to how beautiful this is, says the Ben Yehoyada. Second opinion says, we've come before our Kaddish Baruch Hu. Do you know how he looks at us? He looks at us as people who have to go up this narrow staircase. What does that mean? That he realizes that even when we fall in life, it's not because we didn't care and it's not because we didn't try. It's just that sometimes we were in really difficult circumstances. Sometimes the situations in life were just more than we can. You know, people say, God never gives you a test he can't handle. By the way, I don't think that's true. I think you have to amend that statement a little bit. God never gives you a test you can't handle in the long run. But in the short term, you absolutely can fail the things that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you. And therefore, says the Ben Yehoyada, something so beautiful. Remember, these different opinions are trying to show how HaKadosh Baruch Hu views us when we come before him. So the second opinion says, when I come before him and he opens my files and he sees my failures, again, it's not the pshat, we don't get a pass. There are no passes in life. But what he does say is, he looks at my circumstances. He looks at the narrow staircases of life that I sometimes have to traverse and travel. And he realizes, you know what? It wasn't easy to succeed in those circumstances. Those were difficult circumstances. Sometimes the deck is stacked against us. Sometimes the circumstances are just too much for us to handle right now. And so the Ribono Shel Olam understands that sometimes the pathway is too narrow, the pathway is too steep, and therefore he understands when sometimes we fail. The last opinion, paragraph Gimel, Va'omro ke chayalos beis David. Third opinion said, like the soldiers of the Davidic army, Hainu, Shayotzim yuchasim kulam, kedei shi tehei zuchus avosim esayasan. Ukinizkar vechchin ezel Yisrael, im lo yimotzi zuchus maspik biyadam, yaspik lohem zuchus avosim. And the last opinion says, the truth is, when all else fails, there's always zuchus avos. When all else fails, we are still the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, and just like again, what this is referring to is that David HaMelech and his army would only allow soldiers from Mishpachos Miuchasos, only from families who had distinguished lineage. Because David HaMelech wanted to have an unbeatable army. And to have an unbeatable army, you need people with requisite skill, but you also need people who come armed not only with their own merits, but with the merits of their ancestors. So the third opinion says so beautifully that if for some reason I can't get by judgment because of the first two options, either because, again, I'm just a simple sheep or because the circumstances are too difficult, if all of that fails, then there's always at least the chosavos. Then at least HaKadosh Baruch Hu digs down deep. Remember, as you said before, I might be in personal spiritual overdraft. When that occurs, there is always the ability to tap into the spiritual account of those who came before me. So I think this Ben Yehoyada is magnificent, because what this Ben Yehoyada tells us is the following. So you remember, according to Rashi and the Marsha, what the Gemara was really teaching us was the mechanism of judgment, meaning how we come before God. So according to Rashi, we come before God one by one. According to the Marsha, everyone has to come before God. The righteous, the tzaddikim, the beinonim, the middle of the roaders, and the rishonim, and the wicked. The Ben Yehoyada says, no, what the Gemara is actually trying to figure out is how judgment itself unfolds. What the Gemara is discussing is, okay, now that we've established that we come before God one by one, what happens when I show up? What happens when my number is called? I don't mean like my number is called. What happens literally when it's time for me to give my accounting before the Ribono Shel Olam? And each of us has things that we're not happy with, things that we're not proud of, things that we did that we wish we didn't. We all have things like that. So what happens when I come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So the Gemara gives three different opinions. Opinion number one, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, it's okay. I understand you tried, and I don't look at your failures as, God forbid, a breach in the relationship. I look at your failures as simple errors, like a simple sheep who doesn't mean to rebel against his master when he goes to places he shouldn't and when he eats from things he shouldn't. Second opinion says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at our circumstances and he realizes that many of us don't have easy lives. Many of us don't have easy circumstances. Many of us have incredible challenges that we have to contend with day in and day out. And sometimes, very often, we manage those challenges beautifully. But sometimes the stairway simply becomes too steep. And when it becomes too steep and I fall off of it, the Ribono Shel Olam says, okay, you got to get back on. You got to do better next time. But I understand that it was your circumstances that sometimes made things impossible for you. And if all else fails, and for some reason God can't look at me as an innocent sheep, or HaKadosh Baruch Hu can't blame the stairway circumstances of my life, then how does HaKadosh Baruch Hu get me through judgment? Zuchos Avos. Kechayolos, based on like the Davidic soldiers, he taps into the spiritual merits of our ancestors and allows those merits to tip the scales in our favor. Take a look at the third approach, the Maharal. And again, I just want to point out that I'm throwing out to you all of these different approaches. Obviously, it's not that one is correct. They're all correct. And the beautiful part is they're not mutually exclusive. They all work beautifully in concert together to understand, A, who is judged, and B, the dynamic of that judgment. So take a look at number five, the Maharal. So the Maharal Chiddush HaGadol says, again, something magnificently beautiful. So the Maharal writes, Kibnei Maron Perish, Nira Dahachi Perusho, Ki targumo shel maron hu amarna. Rotz lomar lefi pshuto, ki roa shu bodek kitz bitzono. So again, the Maharal says, like Rashi already said, that the image the Maharal picks up on is not as much one by one. What the Maharal is picking up on is that we are the flock of the Ribono Shel Olam. And just like the shepherd every once in a while has to take an accounting of the flock, so too again the Ribono Shel Olam, the shepherd, Mizmor LaDavid Hashem Ro'i Lo Ech, so the Ribono Shel Olam is my shepherd, so then the Ribono Shel Olam goes in and takes stock of the flock. And says the Maharal, Kino Yisparach Bodek Bi'itzurim Kiro Hashem Bodek Bitzono. God checks us, his creations, he checks on us, he examines us as creations, like the shepherd checks his sheep. Omnam, listen to this. So that's the first part. That's Kibnei Amarna. So according to the Maharal, the first answer to the Gemara, what is Bnei Morami? Kibnei Amarna, like sheep. God is the shepherd, which by the way is a beautiful image by itself, because the shepherd takes great pain to make sure that all of the needs of the flock are met. And you know, again, I think I mentioned this in other shiurim, you know, it's interesting to note, why is it at the end of the day, if you ever notice, that all of our great leaders in Tanakh, almost all of our great leaders, all started out as shepherds, right? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Moshe was a shepherd, David HaMelech, the first one who wasn't a shepherd was Shlomo, and that's because he was born into royalty. But why were they all shepherds? You ever see a shepherd? The truth is, the answer to that is no, right? But if you're in Eretz Yisrael, right? So if you ever drive down to the Dead Sea area, so you pass all of the Bedouin cities, right? Cities, the Bedouin encampments, and you ever see the way they have to deal with shepherding is an incredible talent, because what happens? This sheep wants to go fast. This sheep wants to go slow. This sheep wants to go north. This one wants to go west. This one wants to eat. This one wants to drink. This one wants to rest. Sounds familiar, right? Sounds a lot like shul, right? It sounds a lot like the Jewish people. Meaning, that's, again, it is like people. Because when a leader has a constituency, those constituents want to do all kinds of things. So the leader has to figure out how to keep everyone together, how to maintain the unity of the collective, while at the same time seeing to the needs of the individuals. So says the Maharal, that's the image. The Ribono Shel Olam is our shepherd. So not only does he take care of our needs, but what? Not only does he take care of our needs, but at the end of the day, he goes in and he makes sure that we each have what we need. But Reish Lakish takes this a step further. Continuing number 5. Amnam. Reish Lakish Hosef, it's the first wide line. Reish Lakish added on and said, Eich hu abedika shukema'alos beis morom. So Reish Lakish says, but 1 second, how does God examine us? God examines us like the steps of beis morom. What does that mean? Kisham ya'alu echad echad ve'namako machzik yosem echad. Rak echad hu machzik. V'cheinu ba'atzmo sheyisparach bodik osam l'chol echad ve'echad b'yediyah pratit. V'zeh ki kol ha'adam hu olam echad. V'harei nivra adam yechidi. Kimosh nispar, skip down a little bit. L'fichach. Doma lema'alos beismaron, kiko adam va adam yeshlo madrega bifne atzmo. Says the Maharal so beautifully. What's the imagery of the steps? You know, again, if the staircase is narrow, so what that means by definition is even if there's a whole bunch of people on the same staircase, what is almost an absolute certainty? They can't what? They can't what? They can't be on the same stair, which means you'll be higher, I'll be lower, someone else in between us. Says the Maharal, it's a metaphor for the way we live. Meaning that the Ribono Shel Olam does not expect us to be on the same level as one another. The Ribono Shel Olam does not have mirror expectations for each of us. He looks at each of us as individuals. Just like on Ma'alas Beis Maron, some are at the top of the staircase, some are at the bottom of the staircase, and there's everyone else all the way in between. So too in life. There are people who have progressed beautifully. There are people who are just starting their journey. People in the middle of their journey. And the beautiful part is, the Ribono Shel Olam, you see, the greatest mistake we often make in life is that we measure ourselves against other people in all different areas. We do that. The Ribono Shel Olam does not. God does not judge me or measure me, correspond or compare me to anyone else. Rather, he judges me and he assesses me and he looks at me just through the prism, you know, it's the famous Maisa that Rabbi Zusha of Anipoli, famous Maisa, said that after 120, when he goes up to Shamayim, so he's not concerned that the Ribono Shel Olam is going to ask me, Zusha, why weren't you Moshe Rabbeinu? Rabbi Zusha was concerned, he's going to ask me, Zusha, why weren't you Zusha? And says the Maharal, that's the idea over here. Called Ba'ei Olam over in the front of Kibnei Maron, Kibnei Amari, yes, the shepherd wants to see every single sheep of the flock. But when he examines the sheep, how does he examine us? Answer number 1, Kima'alas Beis Charon. Each on our own level. each on our own step. And as long as I am actualizing my potential and doing what I am supposed to be doing, it might not be as much as you, and it might not be as good as you, and it might not be as intense or as frequent as you. But if I am doing my best, if I'm doing what I am supposed to be doing, then says the Maharal, says the Gemara, I am going to be successful in judgment. As long as I know that I am on the step I'm supposed to be on. Now that's a very difficult question, because the truth is, if we're honest, most of us are not on the steps we need to be on. Each of us could probably push ourselves and go a couple of steps higher, assuming we're able to make that happen. As long as I'm on the step I need to be, the Ribbono Shel Olam will judge me based on my step and not relative to someone else's step. Next, skip down a little bit. Amnam Shmuel Savar Kechayalos Beis David. Shmuel, on the other hand, says that God judges us like the soldiers of the Davidic army. What does that mean? This is so beautiful. Shaholchim Misudar Limochama Kol Echad VeEchad Kefi Madregaso. However, Vehim Miskashim Mikesh Echad. Now, here's what's interesting. See, remember, the whole image we have of the Davidic soldiers is what? It's the whole image that Rashi painted. What's the image? What's the image? One by one. So it's going out one by one. Says the Maharal, that's true, they go out one by one. But in order to win battles, what do you have to do? You have to fight side by side. They might march out of the city one by one, but if on the battlefield they're fighting one by one, they're going to lose the battle. The only way they're successful in the battle is if they have each other's back, if they take care of one another, if they come together as a cohesive group. The Maharal says, right by paragraph Dalet, they might march out one by one, because they're individuals, each on their own level, but on the battlefield they must come together. So this is what the Maharal teaches us. Absolutely amazing. Says the Maharal, what's the essence of Rosh Hashanah? Kol ba'ei olam ovin lefan of kibnei maron. We all come before God like kibnei maron. What does that mean? Kibnei maron, like sheep. God's the shepherd, we're the sheep. And just like the shepherd wants to make sure that every single sheep is okay, the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to check in on us as well. But what is the Ribbono Shel Olam looking for when he examines us, his flock, when he pulls the sheep, me, to the side? What is he looking for? Says that I was looking for two things. Number one, ma'alas be'scharon. Am I on the right step in life? Am I where I need to be? You know what the Ribbono Shel Olam wants more than anything is he wants to make sure we're actualizing our potential. What is the most frustrating thing for a parent? Most frustrating thing? When you see your child doesn't actualize their potential. I don't get upset if my child gets a C, if that's the best they can do. If I know they put in 1,000% effort, if for whatever the reason, this is what they could do, that's C in my book, that's an A. That's an A. They got 100 times 100. Whatever that is. I wasn't going to school either. Hey, whatever. Hey. So whatever they accomplish, as long as it's to the best of their abilities, I'm perfectly happy with that. What's most frustrating for a parent is when a parent sees a child that has all this potential, and the child, either because they're lazy, or even worse, because they don't believe in themselves, doesn't go and actualize that potential, that gives a parent so much grief. Do you know what gives our parent above the greatest amount of what we'll call turmoil in the kishkas, as they say, is when he sees us, his children, and we're not on the step we can be on. Not that we need to be on, but that we can be on. No one like the Ribbono Shel Olam knows all of the incredible kohos and abilities and talents that he has vested within each of us. And when he sees that we are not actively using them, the Ribbono Shel Olam can't stand it. That's worse than sin. This is a very important statement. It is a greater sin not to actualize potential than it is to actually commit an outright avera. Why? Because an outright avera, all right, you know what you did wrong? You can fix it and be better next time. When you don't actualize potential after enough time, you just settle for mediocrity. And once you settle for mediocrity, you put yourself in a life rut that sometimes it's very difficult to get out of. So says the Maharal, when we come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who has the sheep before the shepherd, what is God looking for? Number one, Kima'alas Be'scharon. Am I on the step I need to be? And number two, what is God looking for? Kechayalos Beis David. It's very nice that I have to work on myself to get on the step that I have to be on. But you know what else is important? Do I have the back of my fellow soldiers? Do I just live life for myself? Or do I look out for the other? Am I there for the other? Am I a balor balas chesed? Do I just take care of myself and my own, my nuclear family? Do I look out for my kehila? Do I look out for my community? Do I look out for my people? And I take it even a step further. Do I look out for the community of mankind? Or do I simply live life by myself? Yes, there are times when you have to walk by yourself. There are times when you have to go up the staircase by yourself. But on the battlefield of life, you have to be the kind of person who lives life with an interpersonal interconnectedness. If life is only about you and not giving to the other, and the Ribbono Shel Olam says, I'm sorry, that was not a successful year. That's the Maharal. So before we do the last approach, let me just summarize everything we've done until now, because it's truly something amazing. I want to end off with the last approach. So remember, so far, what have we seen? And again, I can't tell you enough, these are not mutually exclusive. This all forms a beautiful tapestry of understanding what Rosh Hashanah is. So here the Gemara gives us a very simple dynamic. What is Rosh Hashanah? Kol ba'ei olam ovrim lefanav kibnei maron. Everyone comes before God like bnei maron. Very nice. What does bnei maron mean? Three opinions. Sheep, steep staircase, or Davidic soldiers. What does that mean? Rashi and the Maharsha take this basic approach, which is that Rosh Hashanah is an individual rendezvous with God. That whereas the rest of the year we live life within the fabric of the collective, and Rosh Hashanah is an individualistic experience, myself and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Who is this experience for? Everyone. Rishaim, Tzadikim, Beinonim, righteous, wicked, middle of the roaders, everyone has a portion in this experience, and we all must come before God for a one-on-one experience. The Ben Yehoyada takes this a step further, and the Ben Yehoyada explains that in reality what the Gemara is teaching us is not just simply how we come before God, but what happens when we come before God. How does God look at my mistakes? To which the Gemara gives three different opinions. Number one, the Ribbono Shel Olam looks at me like a simple innocent sheep who did wrong things, no question, but didn't do wrong things with a malicious or rebellious heart, but did wrong things simply because I wasn't paying attention, or simply because I just simply wandered off the correct path. Second possibility is my circumstance. The emotion looks at my circumstances. My circumstances were difficult. That's why I made big mistakes. And therefore, the emotion acknowledges the difficulty of my circumstances. And therefore, again, that mitigates sometimes the bad decisions that I've made. And if God can't find anything redeeming about me, he can't say I'm a simple sheep, and he can't blame it on the steep staircase of my life. You know what the good news is? Kechayalos beis David, there's always the chosavos. At least we could tap into the spiritual bank accounts of those who came before us. And if we can't save ourselves with our own merits, thank God there is a pool of merit, a collective national pool of merit from which we can draw on and which will save the day. The Maharal takes us a step further. The Maharal says, yes, Ribbono Shel Olam is our shepherd, and ultimately, again, we are his sheep. And what the Gemara is teaching me is, what's the criteria for judgment? Like, what is God, this is very important, what is God looking for? It's always good, you know, just like you want to know if you're studying for an exam, what's on the test? Like, I need to know what's on the test, I know what to study. This is very instructive. What does God judge us based on? What is he looking for when we come to Shul and Rosh Hashanah and we have that individual dialogical connection with him? What is he judging us based on? Says the Maharal, two things. Number one, did we reach the proper madrega, the proper step in life? Kimalos beis charon. Did we reach the proper rung on the ladder, the stair on the staircase that we were supposed to get to? Or did we settle for simply living on the bottom of the staircase? That's number one. Number two, it's not just about you, it's about us. Did we live lives where we looked out for the other? Did we live lives where ultimately we were concerned with the plight for the other? Or did we only live for ourselves? Kechayados beis David. They go out one by one, but on the battlefield, they must look out for another. We also work on ourselves throughout life. We go up our staircases, we climb our ladders, but we must live lives where we are perpetually preoccupied with the needs and the plight of the other as well. Says the Maharal, that's what the Ribbono Shel Olam is looking for in Rosh Hashanah. And finally, I want to conclude with this. I want to share with you this. I know I've said they're all beautiful, because they are all beautiful, but this is from Rav Yashiv, Zecher Tzadik Livracha. So Rav Yashiv writes the following. He says, Kibnei Maron. See, he writes over here the following. Take a look at the second paragraph, base. He said again, he quotes the Gemara, Kibnei Maron, three different opinions. Look what he says over here. The Kavonas Chazal, and we're going to see Rav Yashiv is very different, because what Rav Yashiv is really going to explain to us, and this is, I can't tell you how important this is our attitude and approach to Yamim Noraim. You see, up until now, what we focused on is on, according to Rashi and the Maharsha, we've been focusing on the mechanics of judgment. How does judgment, who gets judged? According to the Ben Yehoyada, again, we're focusing on how HaKadosh Baruch Hu views us. According to the Ma'aral, we're focusing on what the divine criteria for judgment are. Rav Eliashiv chooses to focus on what should be our perspective on the days of awe, right? On the high holidays, in Yomim Noram. Look what he writes, paragraph base. The Kavanas Chazal Bazeh, Sheyesh Gimel Sugim Bekesha Liyachas Yom Ha'Noraim. Rav Eliashiv writes that, remember again, the Gemara gave three definitions of Kibnei Maron. First opinion was Kibnei Amarna, like sheep. Second opinion, Kibma'alas Ve'scharon, the narrow winding staircase, steep staircase. And number three, like the soldiers of David HaMelech's army. Says Rav Eliashiv, these three categories represent the three different approaches that people have towards Yomim Noraim. Listen to how amazing this is. Al chayalo shel beis David amru razal, shekala yotze limelchamas beis David kosev get krisus leishto. David HaMelech instituted a very interesting practice, which was that before any of his soldiers went out to war, they had to give their wife a get, a document of divorce. David HaMelech instituted this for good reason. It was to avoid aguna issues. Because let's say a man goes after war, he goes missing in action. Nebuch, his wife is trapped. She doesn't know, is he alive? Is he dead? So every single husband divorced his wife. Again, the mechanics of those getting, we're not going to get into now, whether it was a retroactive get, a conditional get, not important. The point is, every single husband, before he went out to war, went ahead and gave his wife a get. Who hirgish esha sakona, shu'ulai lo yachzor me'akrav, v'lochein sider get krisos le'ishto. So what does that mean? What does that mean? You have to imagine that scene. A man is going off to war, which is anxiety-provoking as it is. But then he gives his wife a get. What's the message? What's the message that comes along with that get? What's the message? I may not come back. Now, of course, every single wife that sends her husband off to war, every single mother that sends her son, knows that. But the get is such like an obvious, here, I'm giving you the get, my beloved. I don't love you any less, my wife. I don't care about you any less. Those dreams and aspirations we had to build a life together, they're no less passionate or beautiful than they were 10 days ago. But I have to go to war. There's a reality that I may not come back. And therefore, again, I have to prepare for the eventuality that I may die in battle or that I may not come back from battle. Therefore, here is the get. So, okay, hold on to this just a moment. Malos Beischaro, what about the steep stairway? Vada yesh sakon alechesbo, v'umargishza. So on this steep staircase, it's dangerous to walk on this staircase, and the person who's walking on it certainly feels that danger. Aval mikom makom, l'holeich l'rav l'sader get krisos l'fnei lechto l'beischaro. But listen to this. If a man is going up on the staircase of Beis Charam, so a guy doesn't go to his rabbi and say, Rabbi, I'm going up the stairs of Beis Charam, do me a favor, can you write a get for me to give for my wife? Meaning, what does that mean? That although there's danger, nevertheless what? The danger is not as acute. Why? Why? Because the person knows I could manage the risk of the staircase. It just requires me to go ahead and be exceptionally careful and vigilant. So when I go out to war, there are so many circumstances I can't control. Therefore, even if I'm quote-unquote careful, I still may die. It's also the nature of battle. On the narrow staircase, the guy who's going up the staircase doesn't first give his wife a get, say, I'm going up the staircase, let me give you a get in case I don't come back, because he knows he can manage those circumstances. He just has to be careful. Listen to this. Kiyish ka'ela, sheheim, so says Rav Eliashiv, this refers to different categories of people. Yesh ke'ele she'en bebechinas zochalim v'ro'adim miyom bo'echa samar mipachar b'sari kechayolos beis David hechinuas asmon l'krav u'bechol zos enam botchim ba'atzman. Says Rav Eliashiv, there are some people that they come to Yomim Noraim and they come with such fear, such dread, like the axe is hanging over their neck. Like the Ribono Shel Olam is just like rolling up his sleeves and ready to deliver whatever punishment he's got in his divine storehouse because you've been so terrible over the last year. Right? And they're just waiting for everything to go wrong. Because why, says Rabbi Yashuv? Because they don't believe in themselves. Because they don't believe that they possess enough good to warrant a good inscription and to warrant another year of life. They prepare themselves throughout the entire month of Elul to go ahead and face the music, to face judgment. And yesh yehud, so that's the first category, says Rav Eliashiv. There are some people that approach the Yomim Noraim like Chayalos Beis David. The way where Eliyashu is reading into that is that when the soldier gives his wife a get, he's acknowledging that there is a real possibility that he's not coming home. So says Rav Eliyashu, what the Gemara says, there are kol ba'olam over lefanav kibnei maron. Everyone comes before God like bnei maron. What does bnei maron mean? Well, it depends. Different people approach bnei maron in different ways. There are some people bnei maron means kichayolos beis David. They're going to come before God, but there's a pretty big possibility in their mind that something bad is going to happen because maybe I've done things wrong, and therefore, again, the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to patch me, he's going to punish me, and I'm waiting for something to go wrong. He goes on, he says, Yesh Yehudim Margish Mesa Sakana V'osim Esa Muta Aleihem Yehudim Shekodesh Baruch Hu Danas Adam Ba'asher Usham V'im Hu Chozer B'tshuva Shleima Hashev Hashav Bein Sai Mochon Lo. And there are other people who say like this, you know what, I know I did things wrong, but at the end of the day, I'm absolutely confident that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to forgive me as long as what? As long as what? As long as I promise to be more vigilant and diligent with how I live my life. If I take upon myself not to repeat the mistakes of the past, if I take upon myself to be a little bit better, I'm confident that in that merit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give me another year of life. I'm positive about it. I don't have to give my wife a get about it. I have to hedge my bets. I'm positive it's going to happen. Just like who? Just like Ma'alas Beis Charon, right? That the guy who walks up those steep steps, he's nervous. But he also knows that what? What does he know? What does he know? He knows that if he's careful and if he's vigilant, he'll make it to the top. Says Rav Eliyashiv, there are some people that approach the Amim Noroim with an incredible sense of confidence, an incredible sense of optimism, an incredible sense of hope. I'm going to get to the top. I know I made mistakes. But I also know that the Ribbono Shel Olam is rooting for me to be successful. And as long as I promise to be a little bit more careful on that stairway going up, I'm positive that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to give me another year of life. And then there's a third category. Last paragraph. V'yesh sug anashim she'inan margishim klalas yomadin. Kibne amarno. There are other people who, they don't even give a second thought to the days of judgment. Just like sheep. Shafilu oso keves shesikra oso besikra lo margish b'shum davar yotzi min haklal. And he gives the image. Remember what Rashi said? What's the image of the sheep going out one by one? Meister behema. The opening is very narrow. The sheep are going out one by one. The tenth sheep gets a little bit of red painted on it. Does the tenth sheep even realize it? Bepashtus, no. There are some people that go through the Yamim Noraim, and the truth is, go through life without paying attention to anything. Absolutely oblivious to the profundity, to the gravity of the circumstances unfolding around them. So says Rav Eliyashiv, something absolutely amazing, radically different than anything we've learned before. The Gemara is not telling us how God approaches judgment. The Gemara is not telling us how God meets out judgment. The Gemara is not telling us the criteria for divine judgment. The Gemara is actually telling us the way we relate to judgment. And there are three different ways in which people relate to judgment. Some people are just kibbutz amarna, they're just sheep. They're just wandering around, roaming around. A lot of people just go through life like that, right? Just wherever, that looks nice over there, that looks nice over there, this is comfortable here, without any thought to where they're going, what they're doing, or what's happening around them. Not a good approach. Then there are other people, kichayolos beis David, that they're confident, but they're also confident that the shoe's going to drop? Is that an expression? The other shoe is going to drop, right? Something bad's going to happen. I know it. The Ribbono Shel Olam is getting ready. And by the way, you had schools of Musar like this that were all about, again, how the Ribbono Shel Olam is just going to beat you up. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to exact that pound of flesh. And the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to go ahead and punish you for every single thing that you did. So even if you escape with your life, you're going to be really badly bruised because of all the negative things that you did. Like Chayolos Beis David, when they went out to war, gave their wives a get. Why? But giving your wife a get, what you were saying is, I'm not 1,000% sure I'm going to be successful. I'd like to be successful. I hope we could be successful. But there's also a real probability that I won't be successful. Says Rav Eliyashiv, that's not an approach to Yamim Noraim either. To hedge your bets, maybe I'll be... So what is, and this, my friends, I will conclude with, what is the right approach to Yamim Noraim? Says Rav Eliyashiv, the right approach is Kima'alos Beis Charon. Life is a narrow, winding staircase, as Rabbi Nachman said, right? that kala olam kulo gesher tsar ma'od. Right? I don't know if it's a narrow bridge or if it's a narrow winding staircase. Whatever it is, life is a difficult journey. And many times over the course of the last year, we kind of fell off the main road onto the shoulder. Sometimes we even got ourselves stuck in a ditch, which some of us are still stuck in to this day. But here's the beautiful part, is that as long as you're willing to get back on the staircase and we're willing to go ahead and pay attention and be vigilant and live a life of zihiros, of care and concern, and try not to repeat the same mistakes of the past, and try to do a little bit better, and try to be a little bit better, and try to do a little bit more, and we're committed to scaling the staircase, then the Ribono Shel Olam says is be absolutely confident in the Yamim Noraim. Don't look over your shoulder. Don't worry about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do or not going to do. If you're committed to the path, and you're committed to reaching the top, and you're committed to keep on climbing your stairs, and you're committed to growing and doing, you should be absolutely confident that the coming year is going to be magnificent, the coming year is going to be beautiful, and the coming year is going to be filled with such incredible bracha. And this is what I conclude with. I give us all the bracha, that in Meretz Hashem, over the course of this Rosh Hashanah, we should first of all appreciate the fact that we have 2 days with God. What a treat. What a gift. And I have His full attention. I could say whatever I want, talk about whatever I want. I could cry, I could laugh, I could whatever I want, but I have 2 days with my Father, and He's giving me His undivided attention. And I love all of you, but it's not with you guys. It's just me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and it's just you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's appreciate that gift. Next, let's recognize the fact that we have to answer for our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Are we climbing our stairs? Are we climbing our stairs? Are we on the Madrega we're supposed to be? Are we ultimately, again, looking out for others in the way we should be? We must recognize that the Ribono Shel Olam, what He wants is not to punish us, is not to hurt us, is not to exact retribution from us. He wants us to be successful more than we want to be successful. And even when we're not successful, He tries to figure out the reasons for our failures so as to deflect some of the blame from us and blame it on our circumstances. And lastly, because of all of that, let us find the strength to enter into Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yemei Tshuva, and Yom Kippur with a renewed sense of optimism, confidence, and hope. Yes, acknowledge what we've done wrong, to own what I've done wrong, make amends for what I've done wrong, pledge to do better, and with all of that, enter into these most awesome of days with a renewed sense of confidence and hope that the coming year of 5776 of Tavshin Ayin Vav will be a beautiful year of bracha for us as individuals, for our people, and God willing, for all mankind.
All right.